Please turn your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 19. And the book of Acts, chapter 19. And as you have your Bibles open, we'll bow for a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help in the ministry of His Word tonight. Let us all pray. Our Father, as we come now to the Word of God, to the ministry of Thy precious Word, we come to pray for the help, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I ask that Thou wilt come and help me. Lord, cleanse me, I pray, from every sin. Let there be nothing that would stand between me and the blessing of God being poured out upon us this night. Help us, we pray, to have an open heart. Lord, we have to confess that often we come to the Lord's house and we have other things in our minds. There are distractions. We have not really come with a prepared soul. And so I ask now that our hearts would be open and stilled before the Lord. And the Spirit of God would come to do His perfect work of revealing the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for our Savior and for all He means to us tonight. We know that we are only here. We are clothed and in our right minds because of what He has done for us upon the cross. And our prayer would be again, Father, for the speaking voice of the Holy Ghost to minister to every heart, and especially to those without the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so, our Father, bless us now this night. Help us, we ask, to go on with God and be strengthened in our stand for the gospel, and in our ministry, in our speaking and teaching of the Lord Jesus, that we might speak well of Him and that others would know that we have been with Jesus. Hear our prayers tonight. Minister to our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The last Lord's Day evening, I brought you the first part of a message called Spreading the Word of God by Standing for the Truth. This word was really linked up to a previous message I had brought to you from 2 John, focusing on the cause of the truth and speaking the word for the truth's sake. We live in a day when there is much turning away from the gospel message. The very word gospel means good news. It is the evangel. It is the speaking forth of the content of the Word of God. And yes, the gospel is not just in the New Testament, but the gospel is in the Old Testament, because the gospel is the voice, the message, the word that God has for this lost world. And in the gospel message, there is both the positive presentation of truth, but there is also the negative aspect of the Word of God. In order to have power in a circuit, you must have both positive and negative. Now, as we looked at the Word last Lord's Day evening, we read down from Acts 19, the first 10 verses, and I'd like to read those verses again as we have come tonight. And as we do that, just stopping to make a couple of comments on the way. We have an unusual portion of the Word of God in one sense, especially the first 7 verses. They are dealing with the Apostle Paul having come from Corinth to Ephesus. And as he is coming to Ephesus, he is met up with some disciples. And he is meeting up with these disciples, and they have not yet received the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul is asking them some questions relating to their baptism. Let's read through from the first verse. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Or in other words, have ye received the power, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, His ministry in your life since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Let me stop there for just a moment. The Holy Spirit did not come in fullness until after Christ had risen from the dead. He came then as the Comforter, the Holy Paraclete, the one who was going to speak and manifest the person and work of Christ in fullness after the Lord had gone back to heaven. The Holy Spirit was very much active in the Old Testament, though His ministry and work became much clearer in the New Testament. In verse 3, Paul says, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto him, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, that is Christ, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Now, the baptism of John was a thing that puzzled me for a long, long time, to know exactly what was John the Baptist doing before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And what really was this baptism of repentance that John was doing in the wilderness, whereby all of Judea went out to see what he was up to? Well, the Apostle Paul here gives us the commentary directed by the Holy Spirit to identify exactly what John's baptism was. And John's baptism, I believe, was exactly the same as the baptism that you and I have once we have come to faith in Christ. And I say that because the Apostle Paul mentions in the fourth verse that John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, on the one whom John the Baptist was coming to speak of, that is, on Christ Jesus. So all those people who came to be baptized of John, they were baptized upon their faith in believing that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah that was to come. And so they were baptized unto that promise of Christ, whereas you and I today are baptized looking back to what the Lord has done and an answer of a good conscience. Now in verse 5, and here is where it becomes a little bit difficult. And I believe that what we have here is the Apostle Paul continuing on his explanation of John's baptism. So if you read verse 4 again with me. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they, the disciples of John, heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Then verse 6 says, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, on the disciples of Ephesus, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all these men were about 12. Now I know that there is a disagreement on these verses, and some folks believe that these people were baptized a second time, these disciples of Ephesus. And so the scenario is put forward that Paul finds these disciples, they were imperfect in their baptism, and they had to be baptized a second time to make things right. Well, if you understand that John's baptism was exactly the same as our baptism, there was absolutely no need for them to be rebaptized. And the Scripture does not teach us anything about rebaptism if people are baptized the correct way. And I hasten to add this, that there are certainly occasions when it is needful to have believers' baptism. For example, if someone is born into a Roman Catholic home and they are baptized as a child, that is a false baptism. And when they come to faith in Christ, they then therefore need to be baptized, if you like, the first time correctly, but in essence it was a rebaptism because they were baptized as an infant, although that did not count according to Scripture. And so I believe we have here a case of the Apostle Paul meeting with these disciples, clarifying with them some very important points on the working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the Apostle Paul, as the signs of the Apostle were upon him, and by the laying on of his hands, these people and these disciples were granted one of the sign gifts of the New Testament, that of the speaking with languages to communicate the gospel, and also the ability to prophesy or to foretell and to preach the word of the Lord. And so then, after the Apostle Paul meets with these disciples, he then brings them with him on a very important journey. And he takes them into the synagogue that was in Ephesus. And that's where we were ministering on last Lord's Day. And I reminded you about the preaching of the apostle and how he declared the word of God. He declared, if we are told in the 9th verse, or rather in the 8th verse, we are told that he went into the synagogue and he boldly disputed and persuaded them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. So the Apostle Paul was preaching and ministering the exact same thing that John the Baptist was preaching about, the kingdom of God. And so our Savior also ministered the very same thing after he had gone through baptism by way of obedience and example, gone into the wilderness to be tempted. And the first message that he came to preach was that of repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. So the Apostle Paul was preaching that which was the substance of the New Testament ministry. And that is Christ Jesus, the Savior of men, had to come to die. He needed to come to suffer in order that we might have eternal life. Now the preaching of the Apostle and the word that he faithfully declared, it was not accepted by all people. In fact, to the Jewish people, it became a real offense. It was a stumbling block. But the Apostle Paul continued to faithfully unfold to them what the preaching of the kingdom of God was all about, and for them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all of these things would be added unto them. And he persuaded the people in the synagogue where he was. So Paul declared the truth, and then he disputed about and with the truth. And he went and he confronted the people that he was with. He opened and he alleged from the Scriptures. And I showed you from the 17th chapter that that was quite ordinary for the apostle. That was his manner. He would frequently go into a new environment, a new city. He would go to the synagogue and he would open the Scriptures to them. And he would allege that Christ had to come. The Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer. And that this Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the fulfillment of the Messiah from the Old Testament prophecies. And he disputed and he opened the Scriptures. And the Apostle Paul not only defended and disputed, but he came forward to present that word and that message in a very strong manner. For he said, I am set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. It was Paul's manner and way to stand and say, I am set in this position to defend the gospel. And some might say, but the gospel doesn't need defending because God doesn't need our help. That is true in one sense. But the Lord has privileged us to stand and speak for Him. The Lord has privileged us to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus and with His work. And the Lord has privileged us to bear reproach for Him. And if we are going to draw the blessings of the Lord, surely we must be prepared by our reasonable service to give back unto Him, and if need be, suffer for the cause of the gospel of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul in his preaching was faithful in the way in which he handled the Word of God. Now we want to look on in the message tonight at the progression of apostasy. It's really my second point from the message that we started last Lord's Day evening. The progression of apostasy. Please look at verse 9. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now what we have here in the progression of apostasy is the Jewish people who were in the synagogue began to turn away from the message that the Apostle Paul was preaching. You know, we are not called to be successful in the gospel preaching. God does not measure us by our so-called success. But it is very important for us to be obedient to preach the Word of God. And to be instant in season and out of season. In other words, when it appears to be convenient and everything is going well, but also when it does not appear things are going so well. When everything is against us, we are to be in season and out of season. We are to preach the Word of God, to be faithful, to be obedient to the Lord's Word. The Word comes to us to preach whether the people will listen or whether they will not listen. And I'm thinking of the prophet Ezekiel because he had a very difficult task to do in his day. He had to go and to speak unto people who did not want to hear his message at all. And yet God, when he commissioned Ezekiel, he said to him these words, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. These are God's words, identifying His own people that Ezekiel was going to prophesy to. Whether they are going to tune their ear to hear you, or whether they will forbear, which means they will turn away and reject the word that you're coming to bring to them, preach the word anyway. And I'm encouraged by our brother Wilfie, because that's something that he always says, as we're going along and perhaps through some difficult time, just preach the word. Okay, keep on preaching the word. Whether they will listen or whether they will not listen. And here is the response that the Apostle Paul confronted in the synagogue in Ephesus. And you'll notice in the 9th verse, it says that divers were hardened. That's the first thing that comes. They were hardened against the truth. You see, when the faithful gospel minister opens the scriptures and begins to show things from the Word of God to people, when they first hear it, there is kind of a novelty connected with the ministry of the Word. Maybe a little bit like those people in Athens that the apostle came upon They spent their time doing nothing else but to hear or to learn some new thing, because there's a novelty in something that is new. The very word means that. But after Paul had for these 3 months begin to show them very clearly that the Christ who was crucified, or the Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem by the Jewish authorities there, this Jesus is indeed the Christ. And as Paul began to prove that by prophecy after prophecy, reasoning after upon reasoning, precept upon precept, the novelty soon began to wear off. And the hearts of those hearers began to become hardened against the truth. And my friend, I give you a word of warning here tonight. If you're in this service and you're not a believer, and you've heard the gospel message time and time again, and when you heard it the first time and the second time and the third time, and now the Lord is giving you another opportunity, beware. Beware that you do not begin to see your heart hardening against the truth of God. Those of you who have worked with resin will know that that material in a liquid form is a bit like molasses. It's thick and you can still stir it, and it stays in that liquid state until you take a very small tube of hardener and you place a few drops of that hardener into the resin, and then you begin to stir. And as you stir and stir that hardener into that substance, the process of hardening begins, because there is a chemical reaction. Beware, my friend, that the drops of hardener are not being applied to your heart, and that it's beginning to solidify, and you're hardening yourself against the truth of God's Word. Because the next stage that happens, as we find in verse 9, that when divers were hardened and believed not, the second point, or the second stage, is unbelief. It's not just that now the novelty is wearing off and you're beginning to resist the Word. You're beginning to show those signs of hardness, but beware that the sin of unbelief is not fast gripping hold of your heart. Unbelief in the truth, as it's presented to you, becomes intensified, and as the resin is beginning to be stirred, you find that your stirring stick is beginning to be hard to move around. And as you continue in that process, eventually that resin substance will become as hard as stone when the hardening process has completed. And my friend, if you harden your heart against the truth of God, and the seeds or the drops of unbelief are being applied to your life, beware. For it is not long before your heart will become like stone in your rejection of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what was happening in this synagogue as these people were hearing the truth. They were receiving the truth by the apostle. And if any man who had the anointing of God to preach the word could say that his ministry was a failure, for there were no converts that we are told of here from the synagogue in Ephesus. But the apostle Paul was no failure. And the preacher who holds the word of truth and who faithfully presents that truth is no failure, though there be no results from the ministry of the Word of God. Because the Lord has not called us to be successful. He has called us to be faithful. The third part of their reaction was not only hardening and unbelief, but you see, the full end of apostasy is, but they spake evil of that way before the multitude. They now change their position from just hearing to now becoming on the offensive, and they turn to oppose the very word that the apostle was preaching. And this, my friends, is the full end of those who are in the state of apostasy. For they have hardened themselves, they have turned in unbelief, and now they oppose the word. And they are speaking evil against the very truth of the word of God. These people who claim to be the messengers of God, of the very family and household of God, have found themselves now rejecting and speaking against the very truth of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You see, the results, they do not belong to us. We are called to preach the word. We are called to go forward and do according to the Lord's bidding. And my friend, you must be faithful in your presentation of God's word. You must be faithful in your witnessing to those who you have around you by both your life and your word. And if you find yourself in a situation where you have cowered away from, you've turned back from being faithful to the Lord, and we've all done this because of our own inability, our own fear, the fear of man so often. But let us pray and come with renewed resolve and zeal and say, Lord, help me to be faithful as a witness in my workplace, as a witness in my home. For some of you have very, very difficult home situations. Some of you have to bear the burden of having an unsaved spouse. Some of you bear burdens where your children are not saved. And you can see them turning, turning, turning. And they're not turning to the Lord. They seem to be turning away. And it's a great burden and a grief upon your heart. Do not think for a moment to lower the standard. Do not think to turn away from the truth of God as you need to live your life and be faithful to the Lord. Leave the results in the hand of God. Because He will honor you for your faithfulness. So we have noticed the preaching of the apostle and the progression of apostasy. I want you to notice also the position that the apostle Paul took. And we find that in the second half of the ninth verse, where it says that after they had been opposed, that he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I want you to focus for a moment on those words. He departed and he separated the disciples. The word was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The apostle went now to the school of one called Tyrannus. He was a Greek, lived in Ephesus. It was a school. We don't know much about the school of Tyrannus. It may have been a school of liberal arts. We don't know exactly, but it was a school, and he had an opportunity to go there and to present the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he went to present this gospel that Jesus Christ both came, suffered, he lived, he died, he rose again from the dead. He preached the gospel in the school of Tyrannus. But did you notice? He continued his disputation. He continued his reasoning. He continued his apologetic discourses with them, unfolding these things from the scriptures, presenting now the gospel is to the Jew and also to the Greek, for that whosoever will, the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the message of the gospel is a broad message. And it still remains that today. To everyone who will receive, to everyone who will hear, the gospel doors of grace are still open today. And they're open for you, my friend, if you have not come to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Come to Him. Come tonight. Right where you're seated right now. It is as simple as calling upon the name of the Lord and of repenting of your sin. The apostle separated himself from the established religion that was there. Those who have become disobedient to the truth, much less did Paul think of fellowship with such an organization, because he knew that further presentation of the truth of the gospel message would be like throwing the pearl of the gospel before the swine of unbelief. And that's exactly what the scripture says. Beware that in so presenting the truth, you throw away the word of God. When you know there is opposition, there is rejection, and those have no longer received that word, but they now despise it and they trample it under their feet. And so the apostle said it was time to move on, and he separated himself. He did not stay in the midst of that situation. He was not there for fellowship in that sense. He was there to preach the truth. He was there to proclaim the word. And when the word was rejected, now he's separated from that situation and that place. There also comes a time when it's necessary for the child of God also to separate from those who call themselves Christians and believers. And this becomes a difficult thing at times. And yet the word for us comes that we are to be obedient unto the faith. Obedient unto the truth of God. And we're not talking here about a minor difference of opinion. We are talking here about the fundamentals of the faith. We are talking here about things that are prime elements of the gospel message, whereby you cannot have in good conscience fellowship with someone who is living in disobedience to that word. There comes a time when Christians have to separate from Christians. For the Apostle Paul also told us that we are to separate ourselves from a brother that is walking disorderly, who is walking against the truth, who is walking in defiance of the truth. And so the Apostle Paul, he separated from the established religion. But there's also something we learn here, and that is that he separated with true believers. For he took the disciples that were there at Ephesus with him. They had been with him in the synagogue. They had heard his reasoning. They had seen the ministry of the apostle. He has now realized that my ministry there is finished and we must leave. But he didn't leave those disciples there. He brought them with him too. He was separating with other true believers. And the apostle Paul used his influence and his authority as an apostle to remove those from that forum of apostasy and of disobedience. And it is very important for us, and how sad it is in this day when there are important church leaders. There are prominent men in the Church of Christ today. And these prominent men are so much distance from leaving association with false religion of Romanism and so on, but they are rather joining hands with them. Men who should know better. Men who have the gospel light, who have the knowledge of the Lord, and yet they have not used their influence in a correct manner. But the Apostle Paul, being faithful first of all to the Lord, his conscience being bound to the Word of God, He used his influence to withdraw these people to come with him as disciples of Christ. So he would use all the power that he had to influence them in the ways of truth and righteousness. And friends, there's a lesson for us all there. We have the responsibility. Those that be the elder are to instruct the younger. And it starts, of course, in the family. But by extension, it comes into the church family. And those who are the elders must put their influence upon those who are younger in the faith to direct them in the right way. And there are times when new believers will be involved in things that are not correct and not right. Well, there's a time when that influence has got to be placed upon the young believer to direct them in the way of the Lord, in the right pathway. And so the apostle here used the influence that he had and brought these people with him, and they continued in the work of the gospel. Do you notice that they did not get discouraged? Would it not discourage you after ministering for 3 months in a certain situation and there was no response at all? To say, is it worth it to carry on? Is there any power in the gospel message to change lives? But he was not one bit discouraged. He kept right on going. And he kept on going, reasoning, witnessing, preaching, because the Apostle Paul knew that the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And so he kept on going. He kept on preaching. He kept on ministering. Well, you might wonder, what was the result of this in Ephesus? Well, the conclusion to this we find in the 18th verse of what was happening in that area. It says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts, the work of the devil, they brought their books together and they burned them before men. And they counted the price of them and found it was 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You know the charge that is brought against people sometimes about being too negative with the gospel message is that you're going to turn people away. My friends, be very careful that we are faithful to God's word. We present the truth of the Lord in love. Most certainly we must present the truth of the word of God in love. But look at the consequence. Look at the result that happened. Many believed. And the many that believed and they came, they confessed. And then there was a real working of the grace of God in their life. There was a transformation of their life. They left the old things behind. Doesn't the scripture say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature? Behold, all things become new. Because the old things have passed away. And so, the books were brought, the curious arts were given up, and they became servants of the Most High God, and the Word of God grew mightily and prevailed. For the Word of God will always prevail. My friends, are you encouraged that Jesus Christ cannot fail in His great work that He is accomplishing to this day? He finished the work on Calvary. His work is completed. But the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. And He's coming back in victory. He's coming back in triumph. He's coming back not in defeat. We serve a risen Savior. And He is in the world today. And I know that He is leading, no matter what men may say. We stand today upon the side of the Lord. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let us therefore have confidence to keep on preaching the Word. Keep on being faithful. Keep on endeavoring to honor Christ. For the Word of God will prevail. where it grew mightily and many were won to the gospel. I just close off tonight by saying again, if you do not know the Lord as Savior, if you are not born again of the Spirit of God, and right now where you're seated in our closing prayer, cry out to Him and ask Him, Lord, come into my heart. Let my life be open to the working of the Holy Spirit. You might know what it is to be convicted of sin and realize that Christ Jesus is the only remedy, only Savior of your sin. Let's bow in prayer.